Sync them up. All right, welcome back to Comedy or Worse. I'm here with a very special guest,
Rebecca Robinson.
Yay! So how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day in San Diego.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Happy to be here.
Where did you start comedy?
I started comedy in Boulder, Colorado.
Oh, wow.
Which is right outside of Denver. And then I moved to Denver a year later, and that was my home scene.
So how long are you still there? Or?
No, I moved to Brooklyn about 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I love it out there. There's just so much opportunity and so much comedy all the time.
Nice.
It's like so fun to consume and be a part of.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Sweet. So what made you decide to do comedy?
I've always loved comedy.
Nice.
And I've always been funny, if I dare say so myself. Who knows if I still am, but like growing up and stuff. And I always like had an inkling to wanting to be a stand-up. But then I would go to all these comedy shows at Comedy Works in Denver when I was in college. And I dated this guy who we loved comedy. And we would go and they'd always have these flyers of like, who's coming next? And we'd pick out someone, we'd be like, oh my God, they're coming. You know, let's go see them next. And it just kind of is the only reason we stayed in a relationship.
Oh, no.
Was because we kept committing to these shows in the future. And then one night we saw someone and they just bombed. Very much a professional, nationally touring headliner. Ate it. Like, ate. Can I swear?
I hope you do. Whatever feels natural.
Ate shit.
Yeah.
To the point where I was like, oh, well, I can do that. Not eat shit, but like I can do that. Like I can make people laugh and not flop like that just happened.
Right.
Obviously, you know, I bombed many times since that's happened, but not at that level.
Yeah, you have to get to that level first, right? Oh yeah. Oh, is that your name or you use a stage name?
No, that's my name.
Oh yeah.
That's my name. Like people closer to me call me Becca.
Oh, okay.
But when I started doing comedy, everyone just called me Rebecca.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, that's fine. We'll stick with it. I like it. I like being called that now. So now people just all call me Rebecca.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. So how long have you been doing comedy?
I've been doing comedy for about 6 years now.
Oh, nice.
So a little while, still a guppy, but still more enough to know better in a lot of ways.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Nice. So then during lockdown, were you able to do comedy still? Or?
I did some Zoom shows, I think, like everyone. And also, because Denver is so outdoors, there was a lot of shows in lawns that were socially distanced and in parks that were socially distanced. I hosted a show at a park that was socially distanced. Everyone was masked up.
Right.
And we were just shouting into the void in this park. And it was, you know, kept us sane.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Sweet.
But definitely not to the caliber of what we're used to.
That's cool. Yeah. So did you get addicted to comedy right away once you started it?
I've been addicted to comedy. But once I started it, it was like, it was on, you know. It was kind of like, this is what I'm doing for the rest of my life now.
Nice.
And, you know, I'm tied up in fuzzy handcuffs by it.
That's cool. Yeah. So what is your, like, writing process for writing cut jokes?
Usually things will happen or I'll hear things in the street and whatever, overhear someone, and or I'll just have a stupid idea in my head. And I'll write that down in my little notes app or in my notebook. And then usually I go up on stage with just that thought.
Okay.
And I try and work through and see, like, what's funny about it.
Huh.
And then I take that and I go, okay, this worked, this didn't work. And then I actually write it out.
Uh-huh.
And then I take it back to the stage and I'm like, all right, let's try it another time. Is this better? You know? Is this?
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So did you start out doing it that way or?
Yeah. It's one of those things where I don't think people talk about their writing process until they're like further into it.
Sure.
And so when you start, you kind of are like, well, this is how I write. You know, you're like,
right.
This is how I think it's done. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's how I've always done it. Just having like little nilly willy ideas and going off of that.
That's so cool. Nice. So right now, like if I ask you, what's your favorite joke? It could be anybody's joke, your joke, someone else's joke.
Jesus, that's a hard question.
Hitting hard.
Oh man. Favorite joke right now.
It's fine if you don't have one.
I'll say my favorite joke right now because I can think of too many other people's jokes that I'm like, I can't rank them. My favorite joke right now is I have a joke about the Second Amendment.
Okay.
And how I actually like the Third Amendment more because I want the soldiers to be in my home.
I think I saw you do that.
Because I'm lonely. So, yeah. And one of the reasons I love it is because we know about the Constitution, right? And we're taught, like, these small fundamentals of it. Yeah. But we never recall any of that, like, in our adult lives. And so then once that happened, I was like, oh, yeah, no, people will get this. When I first started telling it, I was like, we all know what a rhombus is, right? And I got like, ooh, yeah, like, of course. And I was like, okay, that's not part of the joke because, like, it's a shape. Like, it doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about.
That's funny.
Just general elementary school knowledge.
Yeah. Everybody knows what a rhombus room is, right?
Which honestly seems like it would be a good shape for a comedy room.
Yeah. Yeah, so what is your favorite stage to perform on right now?
My favorite stage to perform on in general is the Comedy Works stage in Denver.
Okay.
It's just electric. The energy is so good. It's a room that's built for comedy. Low ceilings, cold, dark. Everyone's packed in tight together, and it's just like it's a good club. And then so many like indie shows in New York that I've been doing that I just like the different. I love a good don't tell show.
Oh, nice.
Because I think they're all so unique and they're so well produced that those stages are always fun to get up on.
Oh yeah, that's cool. So yeah. What don't tells have you done?
Did you do one in Indiana? I think I did one in Indiana, maybe.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember. It was either Indiana or Kansas City. And okay. Then New York, I've done one. Yeah.
Sweet. Nice. Let's see. So what's the furthest you've traveled for comedy?
Japan.
Japan. Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. My brother was in Asia, backpacking around.
Uh-huh.
And my dad died a few months prior. Oh. And not to make everything dark and sad.
Sad, sorry.
It's okay, things happen. I mean, but he was backpacking around in Asia and he called my mom and me and he was like, do you guys want to come meet me in Japan? And we were like, sure. And then my kind of whole thing is like, I'm not traveling unless I'm getting stage time.
Right.
Like if I'm going anywhere, like I'm looking for a show or at the very least a mic, like,
yeah.
But a show ideally. And so I just posted a Facebook status, like, anyone have comedy connects in Japan? And like tons of people were like, hit up this person. So I was able to do a few shows in Japan and
wow.
I was like, that's pretty
awesome.
Sick. Yeah. Very different.
Yeah. So, but obviously you did it in English though, right?
Yeah. It was a lot of expats.
Okay.
But also, like, there's some Danish people there, you know, English people, expats from Europe and the United States, and then a few Japanese people.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a little intimidating, too, because the people who aren't United States expats, who are speaking a different language, I remember there was a couple from Sweden.
Wow.
And they could speak English.
Yeah.
And they were like, we got some of your references, but like, not all of them. And I was like, well, that's pretty, I mean, I'll take some over none.
Right. Yeah, that just makes you think, oh, geez, to be really universal, what I gotta do, like, go up there and do physical comedy?
Exactly. I don't mind physical comedy every once in a while. I think it can be very fun, but...
Yeah. Yeah, you just got to be careful. Don't want to hurt yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. So do you have like a hobby or passion that's not related to comedy?
Related. I'm a writer. I love to write. And it's one of the only things I'm good at. It's one of my only marketable skills. And so it helps comedy writing and writing sketches and stuff like that. But I also am an essayist. And I write for two mental health publications.
Nice.
And... you know, try and write screenplays and all that jazz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah, love it.
All right. That's awesome. So do you wish you started comedy earlier?
Yes. Cool. I know it's like, Leslie Jones didn't start until she was 40. You're fine. I'm like, well, but am I? I think, you know, the people that I've come across and that I'm friends with who started earlier, yeah, like, are clearly just stronger. And, I mean, if you're talking on, like, a larger scale, like, Taylor Tomlinson started when she was 14. Same with Pete Davidson. Same with, you know, just so many people who now they're, like, people think they're a night success, but it's like, actually they've been working on this for 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
And now they're finally seeing it pay off.
Yeah.
So I do wish I had started even a year or two earlier.
Right.
I think it would have like helped curb some of my unhealthy habits in high school or in college. Even though comedy is not really a place of healthy habits in itself.
Sure. Yeah. Cool. So what are your goals right now in comedy?
To get funnier. Always. I think to write tighter jokes, and like being in New York, it's very like fast-paced joke telling. When I first started, my family's from Hawaii, and so when I first started, I spent a good amount of time living there. I was there for, I think, 8 months. So I was in their scene, and it was, you know, more Hawaiian, more relaxed, not as like punchy. And then being in Denver, it's like still like kind of relaxed, but people are still, you know, like hitting it. And then in New York, it's like boom, 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 boom. Like get it out, you know, when you're going to a mic and you're getting 3 minutes, you're trying to build a chunk of 15. Well, you better be able to spit it out within 3 minutes and have more than one punchline within that.
Yeah.
Which obviously, I mean, there, when I first started, there's this thing at Comedy Works called New Talent Night, and the first time you get up, you get 2 minutes. And I was so afraid, because I was like, how am I going to do that?
Right.
And then my friend was like, well, wouldn't you want to be funny in your first 2 minutes on stage anyways? And I was like, mind blown. Yes, absolutely. You're totally right. Like, right. It doesn't matter. You know, you should be able to tell jokes in a short amount of time.
Yeah, definitely. So in New York, there's nobody really doing stories, or...
I mean, there's special shows for that. You know, there's niche shows for so many different types of things. I've done a few storytelling shows, and they're very fun. But when you're talking, like, stand-up, most of it is pretty, like, pretty, you know, premise punchline. And no real, like, lull room. I mean, there's obviously avant-garde stuff where people are being a little bit goofier, which... I'm pretty goofy on stage anyways, but yeah. Making that work within that framework.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet. Good, good. So do you have, like, a favorite fan interaction? Either you were a fan of somebody or a fan of yours interacted with you.
Yeah. When I was first starting out, I did... the Aspen Laugh Festival competition, and I won, and nice. They were like, you get passes to the festival. But I had passes to the festival because I was a comedy fan,
right.
And I was like, well, can I trade in my passes to see one of the headliners? Because the headliners were Margaret Cho, Kevin Nealon, Whitney Cummings, and someone else, and I was like, I'd love to meet Whitney, and they were like, we'll see what we can do. And they came back to me. They're like, you can't meet Whitney. And I was like, darn. They're like, but we'll figure something else out. I'm like, okay, great. And then I was walking through the town, and Whitney was coming out of Starbucks. And I was like, oh, my God, Whitney, hi. I just need to introduce myself. Like, I don't want to bother you at all. And she sat there and talked to me for, like, 15 minutes.
Wow.
And she was, like, in yoga clothes and just super casual and was so nice.
Nice.
And just, I was like... oh, this is, like, my heart was pounding. And then, get this, I walked to my car,
uh-huh.
And who's standing next to my car? Kevin Nealon.
No way.
And I was like, Kevin, oh, my God. And I told them both. I was like, I tried to trade my passes to meet you. And wow. He was so nice. They both took pictures. I didn't ask for pictures because I'm like, I've never, that's not my thing. I want to respect their space.
Sure.
But they both were like, do you want a photo? And I was like, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So what? So Kevin Nealon just happened to be near your car?
Yeah, he was just also walking around town.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a small town.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Wow. two stories for the price of one.
Well, I know. I mean, they came within 10 minutes of one another.
Super cool. So, do you have, like, merch at all?
I did, but I ran out of it. But it's homemade merch. Joke about my dad's ashes being sold as dime bags. And so I got dime bags, and then I filled them with kinetic sand and have them, they say dad on the outside.
Right.
And so people, I was like, pay what you want for these.
Yeah.
And when I was on the road 2 summers ago now, you know, I did that, and that was super fun because people were like, oh my God, this is crazy. Is this real? And I was like, no, it's kinetic sand. I'm not giving away my father.
Right. You're going to run out.
To strangers. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
But I need some more conventional merch.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Hopefully that you'll think of some and get some more stuff out.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just thinking stickers of the same thing.
Super cool. Let's see. So what was your family life growing up?
I had an older father, and he was like...
I hope your father was older than you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was older than other dads for people my age. Right. Yeah, it's actually weird. I was conceived by air, and he was like almost in his 60s when he had me.
Okay.
And then I had my mom, who's a little bit younger, and I have a younger brother, and I grew up in Aspen, Colorado, and it was kind of like a bubble of, you know, mayhem and I mean, it was a good time growing up, but also small town vibes. Everyone knew everyone and everything about everyone.
Yeah.
You go to the grocery store, you couldn't avoid seeing 5 people you knew, but
right.
Then you just avoid the grocery store now.
Would you or do you ever do like a character on stage or different voices? Or?
Yeah, I do.
Nice.
It's come kind of subconsciously within bits where I'll be telling them and I'm like, oh, this is different.
Right.
Or like, I have a joke right now where it's kind of bro-y. Kind of use like a bro-y voice where I'm trying to separate like what I'm saying from like what they're saying. That's kind of the extent of the voices. I'm not like creating characters or anything yet.
That's cool. That's good. So you heard that question. Let's see, what's your best booking story? Like, say that you booked someone on a show, or you got booked on a show, and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm winning the contest, obviously.
Right. I get some really cool bookings, but I used to run a show in Boulder called the Boulder Comedy Show.
Oh, nice.
And Hasan Minhaj was playing at the theater across the street.
Wow.
And so I DM'd him on Instagram, and I said, hey, there's a comedy show going on across the street. We'd love it if you stop by. And
wow.
Hasan Minhaj came over, he snuck in the back, and he was like, hey, I'm here, I'd love to do a set. And I was like, it worked. And then he did an amazing set, and I just was like, oh my God, amazing. And my co-producer was like, I can't believe you pulled that off. And I was like, the internet is powerful.
Yeah, that's amazing. How long ago was that?
5 years now.
Wow.
So
you were early in.
Yeah. I started producing a show before I started stand-up.
Really?
Yeah, because so I saw that guy bomb, right? And I met his opener, who's now one of my good friends. But I met his opener and I was like, I really want to do comedy. Like, I want to be involved in this somehow. And he was like, well, come to my show and you come and sit and watch it. And so I would go every week. And then suddenly I was like coming up with ideas for it. And I was like, can I help produce the show? And he was like, yeah, I'd love that. So then we started producing it together, and I kept being like, I want to get on stage. I want to be like, okay, well, you got to go get on stage. And finally he was like, go to this open mic. It's at this time.
Right.
Show up. Just do it. And I was like, okay, fine. And I went and did it. But yeah, I produced the show for about 2 years before I did stand up, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. So do you think that helped you at all?
Oh, it's helped me immensely. I met so many touring people through the show who came. Also, I learned a lot of things like what to do and what not to do, like how to send a good booking email, like what not to say, making sure, you know, you're including the dates you're in town, for instance, things that people leave out, you know, not sending a dead YouTube link and stuff that, like, you learn eventually, right? But when it's given to you, you're like, okay, well, I'm seeing what a good tape is and, like, learning what it means to watch 2 minutes of someone's tape and decide, like, yes or no, you know?
Right.
And it just helped me because it made me confident that I could be around comedians and be in the world of comedy.
Yeah, nice. I wonder how dead YouTube links happen. People change their permissions on this?
Yeah, that's... I said that because this happened recently. I changed what video I was sending. I had a new tape. And so But I had old tape link in my notes just so I could, like, copy and paste my... not have to go to YouTube every time.
Right.
And so I sent that link and then it didn't show up and I was like, no, like, this person's gonna think I'm an idiot, like, so unprofessional. And then I sent them the right link and they were like, yeah, that first link didn't work. And I was like, yeah, that's why I sent you the second link.
Yeah, it's nice when it shows you that it's, like, not gonna work. And
yeah.
You're like, oh no.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh God, such an idiot.
Yeah, at least you figured it out.
Yeah.
So what's the worst thing about comedy right now?
Well, there's no JFL. No, I'm just kidding.
What?
JFL. Just for laughs.
Oh.
That's a joke. Are doing it to get a reaction rather than a laugh.
Yeah.
Like just saying some lewd bullshit that doesn't need to be... So I would say people who are... I mean, and I'm going to just say it's mostly men who are... bold of me to say, yeah, it's a male dominated industry, but who are going up and saying things just to get a rise out of people rather than get a laugh. I would say that's one of the worst trends right now. And also, I just know that it's going this way and so we all have to cave in, but just the fact that it's so much online, I think the fact that a lot of success right now is based in reels on Instagram, right, and how many views you're getting on something, whereas you can be a good joke writer and not be posting tape all the time and not get the same opportunities as someone who has a good clip and gets a few thousand likes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's one of the goals of the podcast, is to encourage people to see live comedy.
Yes, I think, you know, when specials come out, I think that's amazing, but when you can see someone touring and you can see that special before it gets on tape, yeah, that's the real magic, you know?
Exactly.
Being in the room when it happens is, like, the cherry on top.
Let's see. Right. So, I think I need to write more questions. Oh, what's the biggest audience that you've ever performed for?
The audience I've ever performed for, 700 people.
Nice.
Yeah. Very in a theater, and it was very much... It was a very fun, surreal experience because it was obviously, like, a goal of mine and a venue that I wanted to perform at. And so cool to check that off, and also fun to know you can get a majority of those people laughing at you or laughing with you, whatever it is. I don't care. I'll take the laughs.
Yeah, definitely. So what about, did you have, like, a story for, like, a time, like, you were under a lot of pressure and, like, stuff didn't go well, you know, like you were trying to impress a booker or something?
Yeah, I would say there was a show in New York. I can't remember what show it was, but it was when I first moved there. And I just felt a lot of pressure in general anytime I went up, anywhere, mics, shows, etc. But this one particular show had this booker of a big festival, and I knew them tangentially, but they hadn't seen me in a few years, and I was like, well, I want to get this festival. And I went up and I absolutely ate it, because I was so nervous the whole time. I was like, well, they're watching me. And then I got off stage and they were like, yeah, nice, good job, like, very apprehensive. And I was like, I fucking bombed hard, like, I don't know, I think just the pressure of being in a new scene anywhere, you want to show up as your best. Like, even just, you know, being on the road places, anywhere I go, I'm like, these people booked me. I want to respect the fact that they're giving me stage time and also show up and fucking destroy if I can. Yeah, that's always the goal.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know you're in San Diego for a while. So what do you start this trip to San Diego?
I got here on February
27th. Nice.
It's a leap year. And I am leaving on this Saturday, the 16th.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I've been here for a minute. It feels like I moved in. My Airbnb feels very familiar at this point.
Yeah, I think we're going to be on a show together on Tuesday.
Possibly, probably.
Yeah. I saw your name. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, then absolutely. Yes, we are. My calendar is so jumbled.
Oh, yeah, you know, I don't expect you to remember.
No, it's okay.
Actually, I think the first time we met was here at Madhouse. And
yeah.
You, like, were coming off stage or something.
Yeah.
And you're like, hi. And I'm like, and I was like, oh, was that? Because I saw your name, and on the list, it said Becca.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, is that the same Rebecca? And, you know, because, you know, we had...
Yeah, I don't know how that happened because I've never told... Like, I don't usually... It's not... That's not what I go by. So when I saw that, I was like, that's interesting. But yeah, I was coming off stage and then I recognized you from Instagram and I was like, oh, I should say hi. I'm doing his podcast. And then immediately after I said hi to you, I was like, oh, I probably should have, like, introduced myself and said who I was. But I just wasn't such a, like, frenzy.
No, it's all good. Like, I don't expect anybody to, you know, like, before going on stage and after going on stage, you know, it's like a... You have to get in a mental state, you know?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Well, I don't know about you. Do you take time to prepare to go on stage?
And then yeah. You know how Michael Phelps does his, like, arm thing? Like, where he swings his arm around to stretch?
Yeah.
I kind of do something similar. I don't do huge arm swings, but I like, dance a little bit. I think it just helps my nervous system get regulated.
Yeah.
You know, I take a few deep breaths. But... oftentimes, especially when I'm in new places and I'm dancing, people are like, what the fuck is she doing? And I'm like, I gotta shake my butt a little bit before I get on stage. Like, it's just what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes when I do it, people are like, can I join you? And I'm like, sure, I would love a dance partner. Absolutely.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And then when you come off stage, do you feel like you need, like, time, like,
yes,
apart?
Depending on how badly or well it goes. If it absolutely eat it, then I'm like out the door of wherever I am. Like,
right.
I'm not grabbing my stuff. I just need to take a break for
sure.
A second, and I'll step outside and be like, okay, like, that was not it. And you shouldn't show your face. You're going to go back inside, grab your bag and go home. Because I can't go straight into the green room. I will cry. But then if it goes well, it's still, like, taking a second to the side, you know, turning off my voice memo, kind of taking a few deep breaths and being like, that was fun. That went well. That was good. And then going back into the green room and just being like, I'm a champion. No, I don't do that part. But I do. I go back into the green room and I'm more, like, able to sit there and feel like I'm a part of something and that I deserve to be there.
Yeah, that's cool. So, voice memo. So, do you record video at all or just voice?
I do record video, but in situations it's only voice.
Okay.
Usually, if I'm doing a club that I know records, it's just voice. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, yeah, I'm working on getting a new setup for my camera. I unfortunately didn't lose, but had taken from me my camera. So I've been saving up for a new one, and in the meantime, using my phone.
Yeah. Working on my phone.
Yeah. I mean, the iPhones are so good that you can get so much detail. It doesn't even matter. You don't really need a full thing. But I think, you know, especially on the road, like, to have, like, a lav mic and to be able to set that up or, like, have a camera that has a boom on it, I'm deciding which way I'm going to go, like, I think is, it's because it's important to see how you move on stage.
Yeah.
And how you sound and what you're saying, absolutely, you get that out of a voice memo, But to see yourself like on video is super important. And then if I was gonna say like, and I'm bad at doing reels, but like if I was more prolific in it, then I would be putting out more reels.
Right.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So have you ever recorded like with like multiple cameras at all?
It's been set up for me.
Oh, okay.
Not that I've personally set up. I think sure. My anxiety levels are too high before I go up. Unless I'm like very set in my set. Unless I'm very sure what I'm, you know,
right.
like doing. I don't really want to be rushing around and pushing buttons and doing the thing. I think if it was a bigger opportunity,
yeah.
then I would want multiple angles.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not producing a special when I go up there just yet. So, you know, straight on is good for me for the moment.
Yeah.
Or depending on the space, like a little bit to the side.
Yeah. Sweet. Let's see. You said writing, so have you wrote sketches?
Yeah, I've written a few sketches, yeah.
Have you, like, shot any?
I've shot one.
Okay.
That's the most difficult part, I feel like, is, for me at least, yeah. is, like, getting together a group of people or just a person or whatever the sketch right. includes to film it, and also having someone to be there to film it,
yeah.
because... at least in New York at this point, people cost money. Maybe not the people who are acting in the sketch per se, but the person who's helping is the videographer or editor.
Right.
You know, so working on that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Makes sense. What about improv? Have you ever done improv?
I have done improv. I did like 3 classes in Denver.
Okay.
And then... well, let me actually rewind. The first time I did improv, I lived on a business floor in my dorm in college.
Oh, okay.
And they brought in improvisers to show us like how saying like yes and using the tools of improv are good in business settings and like in just settings of life.
Yeah.
And so that was the first time I tried it. And then I did a... few classes in college with 2 of my friends, and we didn't even think to check if there was a student improv team, so right. we just went to this improv theater that was like 15 minutes off campus, and we'd take a taxi there every, because this was before Uber, we would take a taxi there every Tuesday or whatever and do this improv class and then come back, and we all were like, that was great. And then I didn't touch it. Did 2 improv classes in Denver. And I went, the first time I visited New York, I was like, I want to do UCB. And they're very strict about, like, their guidelines. Like, you have to do level 1, level 2, level 3 before you can do different electives and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm going to cheat the system. And not in, like, a mean way, just in, like, the I want to do this thing and I haven't had the opportunity to do UCB.
Right.
So I showed up for the class online and I showed up and they're like, have you done level 1 or level 2 or level 3? And I was like, no, but I've done improv in Denver at Comics, which was true. I was not lying. And they were like, okay, yeah, you can do the class. And I was like, awesome, did it. And so I got into this class, and it was a long-term form improv class.
Right.
And it was very fun, and I was good at it. And there were people in the class who, like, sucked, who I was like, you've been through 3 levels of improv to get here. I was like, I haven't done shit. Like, what are you guys doing?
Right.
But that was also a good skill to learn. Being able to think on your feet and also listen to other people in the room is so, so good for you.
Yeah, not have to be the center of the stage all the time. You can, like, see what someone else is doing.
Yeah, and to work as a team, yeah, I think it's important. A Second City just opened up a theater in New York that's 4 blocks from my house.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great. And I just took a writing class with them. But because I was a student, they gave out free passes to all their shows before the theater opened.
Wow.
So I got to go see that. And improv is really hit or miss.
Yeah, that's cool. So... college. What did you go to college for?
I went to college for psychology and creative writing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I to this day.
Hear that, everybody? You can use your degree.
I'm lying. I don't have a degree, but I do use those skills.
See, you don't even need a degree. This is even better. Yeah, super cool. Do you ever think you'd want to finish your degree or anything like that?
I gave up those dreams a long time ago. I suffer from bipolar disorder, okay. And so going to school became increasingly more difficult. And as much as I would have loved to finish college, because I love to learn, okay, she's a nerd, it just wasn't feasible. And right. Thinking about it now, I'm just like, it's not worth my money, especially when I want to do this and when I can write without a degree. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to get a tech job or, you know, something like that that requires actual degree.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Do you have like a day job right now, or?
I'm gainfully unemployed.
There we go. Vacation.
I was just on my mom on my way here, and she was like, "You need a job," and I was like, "I know, I want a job." And turns out it's hard to get a job sometimes, and I've been looking, and again, don't have a degree. I have a little gap in my resume, and you know.
You always can say comedy.
I mean, listen, that's what's on there right now.
Somebody gave me $10, I'm getting paid.
I know. Oh, God. My mom's like, comedy doesn't even pay you that much. I'm like, yeah, but sometimes, on one gig, I made $3,000, which I did not deserve. But, like, also, I get paid in drink tickets, and I do not drink, so I'm getting paid at nothing. So, a job would be, I've been a nanny for a while, and,
cool.
You know. We're now in the barista range. That's kind of what I'm looking for at this point. Someone asked me if I should get my real estate license. I don't know about that. I feel like...
Yeah, it just depends. Do you want to suffer? Or...
Yeah, I don't... It's selling houses to people. I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd be a good car salesman, though. Now that we're talking about this, maybe we just opened up something, Aaron.
You just gotta figure out what you need to sell, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Come up with skit ideas off of the job.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think if you're doing anything, like, I think you need to be doing something in your life to be able to generate fresh ideas, right. Whether that's like having a job or going and doing a hobby. If you're stagnant, then your comedy is stagnant.
Yeah.
Which is why I need a job so badly.
Not just the money, she needs more experiences.
I need more life in my life.
That's cool. So are you producing any shows right now? Or?
Not at the moment. I was going to start producing a show at this dog cafe in Brooklyn.
What?
It's a few blocks from my house, and they were like, "We'll give you the space for free." And I was like... Okay, and they're like, "We'll give you all of the door." I was like, "Absolutely!" It's like, this is too good to be true. And then we planned for a date, and then it was too good to be true because they had to close down. So when I get back, I'll be looking for a new venue and trying to work that all out.
Yeah, so close.
Close. I don't mind producing a show. It's a pain in the ass sometimes, but I think. It's adding to a scene and, you know, you get to see more funny people. Like, it just, and it's a good way to build your network and,
So do you have, like, a podcast of your own right now? Or?
I don't have a podcast of my own. Okay. I've been skirting around the idea of what a podcast could be for me. I think there's so many lanes that are being filled. But then again, it's like, at my level, is touching on that?
Sure.
I do consider doing like a comedy and mental health podcast.
Okay.
Just because that's so pervasive in my life, and comedy is the thing I'm most passionate about.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of comedians struggle with mental health. So it'd be both informative and funny. But I don't know. I used to. I'm in the midst of writing a scripted podcast.
Okay.
Which I had one before COVID, and then my producer got COVID, and he was like, I can't produce this anymore. He didn't die. He's fine. That's but he just, he's fine. He just was like, I'm, you know, sick. And I was like, okay, so that dream fell to the floor. And so now I'm writing a new rendition of it and hopefully going to get started on that soon, recording it. Yeah.
Nice. Cool. I'll look forward to hearing that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it's exciting. I haven't said this on the podcast yet, but this podcast, Comedy or Worse, is going to have a show.
Wow.
Mic drop, yeah.
That's awesome.
It's
going to
be June 16th.
I just did mic drop. It was so much fun.
That's awesome.
So much fun. Great club.
Yeah. So the concept is we're going to have the comics are going to be people that are on the podcast.
Yeah.
And then just say, oh, this is, you know, so-and-so in the episode X,
yeah,
you know, and then so it, like the comic, they can like go back and listen to the podcast, you know.
I mean,
find out more about it.
What if you took a clip from the podcast and that's how you intro'd them?
What? That's too much. That's crazy. Write that down. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean, that'd be fun. Like if you have one sentence that they say and then. Yeah. They have to get on stage and deal with what they've said in the past. We all love bringing up the past.
Yes. Remember when you said... Talk more about that, if you want, you know.
Instead of intro music, it's just like an intro pod.
Yeah. Okay. I'll definitely have to figure that out. That's a little more work, but...
Yeah, a little more technical, but I feel like you're capable.
I appreciate that. Yes. Okay, so let's see. How do you feel about the length of podcasts? Is this... podcast length or you want to keep going?
I mean, I don't know how long you've been sitting here for.
Should we stretch our legs? Dance break?
We can do it. I'm down for whatever. It's your podcast.
It's the audience's podcast.
Okay, it's the people's podcast.
Too bad they can't call in right now and tell us.
But he's going to get a Google number so you can in the future.
I do have a Google number.
So you can call in.
Yeah, you can call and the podcast is also on Instagram.
Oh, wow. I remember you telling me that.
You can leave a funny voicemail, or you can promote a show or something.
That's so cool.
Or you could do both. You could have a funny thing about your show.
Yeah, okay, I love that. Yeah, Google numbers are great. They're tricky, but they're great.
Yeah, so remember to put it on Do Not Disturb, so it goes straight to voicemail.
Yeah.
Otherwise, your phone will ring, and you're like, what?
Yeah, you're like, who is this? What's going on? Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. I don't get any calls they want. But,
right.
But it's always fun when someone calls and, like, you know, even if it's promoting their shows and stuff.
Call this podcast.
Yeah, make it fun. Yeah, I was thinking of putting on one of the comedians that had just done a few of the voicemails and they haven't been on the podcast yet.
Yeah.
I should try to get them on the show.
Yeah, because they're clearly trying to be.
I think everybody that I've asked so far has said yes to the show, which is good. Then, you know, put it together. And also, I was thinking of, like, doing, like, a test run, almost like a quantum broom, you know, like, get people that have been on the podcast and, like, try to run through it just so.
Yeah.
So totally. The first time, just... You know, where it's a paid show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that should be fun. So let's see. Also, banking these episodes. So this episode's not going to come out right away.
I can't wait to be heard in the future.
Is there, let's see. The first thing is just make sure we get through this.
Yeah.
Is that how can people get a hold of you online?
Online, when people say, how can people find you? I'm like, online. Instagram, at Becca Robs, BECCARobs, _, because some bitch has at Becca Robs, and they don't have any posts, and they don't have any followers, and it's really rude.
Okay, legislators, we need to write a bill about this.
Actually, go report the account.
Yeah.
Go report that other account. At Becca Robs on that. Twitter is at Becca Robs. My Twitter sucks balls right now, if I'm being honest. It's not worth looking at. You can add me on Facebook, but if I don't know you and you're not booking a comedy show, I probably won't accept your request.
Do you have like a fan page?
I have at beccarobs.com.
Okay.
That has all my dates. has some cute photos of me on stage. Nice. And my tape, nice. Contact info. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
You hear that? You like what you hear? You want to hear more?
Yeah.
Find her.
Find me, but like not physically.
No. Come to show. And then maybe
come
you get
to a show,
talk to
just
her
like
after
yeah,
the show.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Gotta be clear these days. People are crazy.
Exactly. Okay. I can't think of anything else to talk about.
Okay.
I mean, I could talk all day, but, you know, is it gonna be interesting?
I mean, we could make it interesting.
No way. Okay, let's start doing improv. Where are we today?
In a cave.
We're doing it in a cave!
Eating turkey legs.
Real turkey legs? Like the giant ones?
Yeah, the big ones. You know what I've always said about those? Is like, I'll know that love when I can like eat a huge turkey leg in front of someone. And like, I put to the test with my friend who got engaged, and then she ate a huge turkey leg in front of her husband, and he's like, okay. Like, he wasn't thrilled about it, but he was like, I love you, so like, you're gonna eat this turkey leg. So I... That's how I know.
Yeah, maybe you can like share the turkey leg with the person.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that another level, or is that before?
I know. I think
it has to be at the same time, right?
Yeah. I think to be at the same time. I think if you're sharing a turkey leg,
they're gonna see
you. That's like, yeah, you might as well get down on one knee right there, like. And I'm absolutely not an expert on love or relationships, but I'm giving this out freely. This is my free advice.
Yes, definitely. Go to the fair, wherever they sell turkey legs.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you can find them in caves.
Yeah, like the one we're in.
It's so nice in here. This is the best cave I've ever been in.
The chandelier is a little much, but I...
Who even put this in here? Cavemen? Prehistoric bats?
Do you think, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Because we're talking about cavemen and comedy. Obviously, maybe not obviously, but do you think people have I feel like laughter is part of being human.
Yeah.
I feel like those who go without laughter, you know, suffer.
Yeah.
And so do you think laughter is something that people throughout the ages, like, maybe not during the Black Plague, but like...
Oh, no. Like, look at your nose is bleeding.
Or like when there's like tons of lepers, they're like, his leg fell off. But like, I mean, laughter has to be something that happened.
I think physical comedy probably was the first form of comedy.
Yeah.
Because before we even had language, we had interactions in the world, right? And
right.
Like if someone tripped, like other people,
right? Banana know, peel.
But they would just laugh, like
yeah,
because it would help relieve the tension, and you know, if I think if we explain comedy, then the universe would explode because it's not meant to be totally figured out, explained.
Right, and that's I think that's one of my favorite parts about it, and that's one of the reasons I moved to New York actually, is because. Everyone's doing something differently.
Yeah.
Like, you can be telling jokes and you can be doing it in a song or in a way that you're using different voices or the tempo in which your jokes are told. Like, everything is just so, there's so many beautiful ways to make people laugh.
Yeah.
And any time I go somewhere else, I'm like, oh, wow, that was really cool how this person did this thing and, like, manipulated the crowd in this way. Like I love when people can hold dead air, but, like, in a really productive way that makes their punchline even better. I'm like, oh, I go nuts for that shit.
Yeah, one of my new things I'm trying is, like, I just did it at Quantum again. I don't know if I'm going to keep doing it, but it's just fun to do.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, for my last show, I'm going to try to lose the audience. And then I'm just like pretending to hide. And, you know, it's just.
I think that shit's fun.
Just silly.
I feel like you need to be having a good time. I feel like you should be taking comedy seriously, in quotations, but not like seriously. Like it's not, I don't think it's meant for people who have a hard head. You know, I think an audience member, sure, but like as a comedian, I think there needs to be some jelly in your brain to kind of mess around and like Yeah, like you're saying, like, hide from the audience and get all weird. And, like, I fucking have a... Moser is me singing. I'm not a singer. But it's, like, a super dumb joke that started off as me singing under my breath and my friend going, you should make that a joke, to me being like, oh, okay, now this is actually what it is.
Yeah.
You know, nice. People need to experiment with different things and try and find... Don't need to, but it's cool when people find different ways to tell jokes.
Yeah, definitely. So, do you like that people put comedy in different categories? Like, oh, that's alt, or that's...
Do I like when people do that?
Is that helpful or hurtful? Or?
I think it might be helpful for an audience.
Sure.
Like, I know when I have family who's coming to a show or asking to come to shows,
right.
They're like, okay, well, what is this going to be like?
Right.
And I can be like, well, it's going to be a little bit of this, or I think it might be pretty dirty, you know, like pretty blue. Or you can be like, this is clean. Like, I think categorizing it kind of is okay.
Yeah.
But I also feel like every comedian fits in a different box. You know, like, we're all Barbie in our own box. Some is Malibu Barbie, some are, like, Firefighter Barbie. But, like, there's the general, like, sameness, and then there's the, like, unique flavor that every comic has. Because if everyone told the same, like, jokes the exact same way, that would be the most boring shit ever. Like,
people would be like, well, you're not doing your comedy, you're doing the people that came before you.
Yeah, it's monotonous. And when people, happens a lot when people start out, is they emulate someone who they have watched before, or who's, like, Mitch Hedberg is a great example, or Beth Stelling, like, where people are like, oh, here's the way in which they talk, and I'm going to try and talk that way.
Right.
And hope that it's the same effect as what they're doing, but it's like, they're so much better than you. Just try your own shit. Like, oh, you're trying to be Mitch Hedberg? That in itself is a joke.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was, like, thinking of, like, a lot of times it's hard to do impressions, you know, like, to really sound it. Like,
right.
So I'm like, oh, what if I, like, say, oh, I'm doing an impression of this other person doing an impression.
Yeah. Like, that's meta. That's meta as hell.
Just be like... So if it's not perfect, it's because the other person isn't perfect.
Yeah. Doing it. Exactly. Put the blame on someone else.
Well, tell them to get better first, so then I can copy what they're doing.
I like that.
You just have to think of more, or I gotta, like, just practice it more, I guess.
Yeah, I think impressions are, like, I used to be good at them when I was younger, but I kind of suck at them now. But I think it's just practice and, like, learning intonations and inflections and. Just the tonality of things.
Right. And physical presence, too, right?
Absolutely. And how, like, I think a lot of people who are great impressionists, like Chloe Fineman's a good example. When she, like, does Drew Barrymore, for example, she's doing Drew's face. She's doing kind of, like, how her body sits.
Yeah.
And I think that helps, like, improve what, and, like, probably helps create the impression.
Is there someone that you would love to do an impression of?
No.
Okay, how about this? What would, if someone else did an impression of you, who would be your dream person to do an impression of you?
God, these are hard-hitting questions, Aaron.
I need to write these down.
Dream, hard-hitting question. Who would I like to have impersonate me? Well, I think, oh God, I don't want there to be dead air, so I'm talking right now until I think of someone. I think it'd be very funny if Jack Black did an impression of me. If he could pull that off, I mean, he can do everything, so if he could pull that off, I'd be like, you are an all-star.
You'd just be like, everyone's like, that wasn't even that good, but you're like, no, he did it perfectly.
Well, also, if Jack Black was able to pull off an impression of me, I'd be like, oh my God, I need to rethink everything about my voice. I need to think, and my mannerisms, I need to redo everything. But I'd be honored nonetheless.
So do you ever write jokes and you're like, oh, like this, I can't do this in my current style. I gotta, like, change it up. Or do you always just write jokes in your own voice?
Wait, can you expand on that?
Say that you, have you ever just, on purpose or by accident, like, thought of a joke and then, like, wait a minute, this isn't my style. Like, this joke would be better suited for someone else.
Yeah. Well, I've helped write jokes for other people and their voices. But when it comes to my own writing, if I do come up with something that's like different than my normal cadence, I guess, I try and make it work. Because if I think it's funny, then, you know, I'm going to try and make it work. I'm not selling up anyone. No one's coming to me like, Becca, please. But I think it also helps improve what I'm doing, because then I can look at it from a different perspective and go like, okay, maybe everything doesn't need to be in this like, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum. Take a swing here, swing there. And if it doesn't work, then I can maybe rethink how I'm telling the joke, or rethink how I'm telling the other jokes, because maybe this other way is a better new way to tell my jokes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I definitely found, as I get time, and it's like, wait, no, this old stuff is bad.
Yeah.
I just have to start over.
Absolutely. The old stuff is always bad. I mean, yeah, listening to old voice recordings, I'm like, Jesus, why did I say that? Like, that is not, maybe it was funny once, but like, no, quit.
So right now, what's the oldest joke that you're still doing? You're not doing something from 6 years ago?
No, I'm not doing something from 6 years ago. I'd kill myself. I just want to be getting better all the time. So if I was doing something from 6 years ago, I'd be like, you're being lazy. My oldest joke, and I'm trying to think, I've been trying to write a new closer for the last 2 months, at least. Just because I really like it. I think it's fun. It gets laughs, fine. But I'm like, I want to end on a punchier note.
Right.
And like I said, it's singing, so it's not very punchy. It has words, like it has I stop to talk within the song, but I think that's the oldest joke that I'm telling right now.
That's cool. And how long ago did you write that?
Probably, well, it didn't come into its like current form until last 2 Decembers ago.
Okay, that's not too bad.
I'd been telling it for probably maybe like a year or like a half a year before that. But then I received a text message that informed me of, I mean, I'll just fucking, I, the it, it, the end of the joke is that my ex-boyfriend basically, he's, the song is about my ex-boyfriend started dating one of my best friends.
Right.
And the end of the song is that he texted me, and I didn't have an ending. Like, up until then, I had the first two like choruses or whatever. And I, if you could even call that. And then he sent me this text message, and I was like, fucking thank you, because I needed a button on this joke. I was so mad, but I was so happy. Like, I was like, I'm not even angry at you, because I needed an ending to this joke, and you just gave it to me. So, shout out to him. Fucking A. I wish I could give him zero credit, but he gets a little.
Sure. Makes sense. That's just part of life, right? You just write what you know and what happens to you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I dig into some of stuff sometimes, but I think it still stems from reality.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's how people get to know you, right? Like, how you interpret the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's why comedy is important, because you're seeing so many perspectives of how people, like, see the world.
Jeez, now I gotta, like, go back and listen to this and write down some of these good questions.
How dare you?
Making more work for myself. Good. Is there any question that I didn't ask you?
I don't know. I don't think so. I feel like we were thorough.
That's good.
I feel like this was good.
Yes, this is a good place to end.
You didn't ask me how I feel about San Diego comedy.
Oh, there you go. You gotta remember that for all the advertising. Sort of the times. Yeah, how do you like comedy?
I mean, for locals, you could just say, how do you like the scene? But so far, I've liked it. Everyone's been really nice.
Nice.
Which I think is a testament to a scene. I think if people are friendly, like, usually people are working hard and working together in some sort. Yeah. Not, like, necessarily on a project, but just, like, tagging each other's jokes and stuff.
Yeah.
And doing my drop the other night was really fun.
Nice.
I had a great
time. Was that in the main room?
In the gold room.
Okay.
I'm doing that again this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to see more local scene this week. I haven't really gotten a full taste of it, but the people that I've met have been really friendly and pretty funny, so yeah.
Yeah, so on Friday, if you're able to, you should just pop over to the Quantum show.
Is that near my drop?
Yeah, it's like right across.
Okay. Yeah. I'll see what I can do.
No pressure.
I love the stage time. Yeah. All the pressure in the world now.
Oh no! Time is going too quickly.
I don't know. They have a great chicken Caesar salad there, so I might get caught up. No, I'll try and make it for sure.
Thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you for having me. This is great.
Yes. Okay. So that's been another episode of Comedy or Worse.
Do you not ask any questions of what's worse than comedy?
No, I asked what was the worst part of comedy.
Oh, okay. That you did ask that. Sorry. The podcast.
I can ask the worst questions.
The podcast.
What's the worst part of ending?
Worst part of ending is that you want it to be clean, but most of the time it's a little awkward.
I love it. Yay.